What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
New year, new tech solutions. That's what we are here for, to solve your digital dilemmas. I am Dave Graveline. This is Into Tomorrow for the weekend of January 4th, 2019. The first Into Tomorrow broadcast of this new year. Next week, by the way, we launch our 24th year officially at CES. So we don't want you to miss a minute of that as we bring you some of the latest, greatest, cool consumer tech being introduced out there in the desert in Vegas. And we will do just that. Erosmo's in the control room. Horatio's in New York working with the show. And who are you?
Chris Graveline.
Are you sure?
Yes. And desert? Right. I only agreed to go to CES because I thought you said there would be dessert.
No. Desert.
Oh.
See, you always confuse. Is it one S or two S's? And so, but you confused it.
Yeah.
We'll find you some dessert there.
Okay.
Showstoppers and Pepcom always have good dessert in the desert. So we'll make sure in between interviews you can woof down a piece of pie or something.
And I will desert you in the desert so I can go have my dessert.
Oh, gosh. Now you're really confusing everything. It's tech news and commentary in this first segment, if we can get through it. And then we will get to more of your calls and solving your consumer tech questions. Perhaps you got something from Santa that you've got some questions about, whether it's working properly or how you might best use it, whatever the case. Then you can dial the following toll-free number. It might be the old-fashioned way, but it still works the best. And you can do it any time, day or night. And then we will address it for you after our Vegas Dessert Desert broadcasts coming up in the next couple of weeks. And you'll be among the first on that very next regular broadcast, and we'll solve those problems for you. What number would that be?
800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO.
Now, there you go. Some tech news. Do you have for us any?
I do. Google has...
Suddenly, yeah. I'm Yoda.
Yeah. Don't insult Yoda like that.
Yeah. Harsh. Yeah. I could close your mic.
You won't. Google has won approval from U.S. regulators to deploy a radar-based motion sensing device known as Project Soli. The Federal Communications Commission said in an order that it would grant Google a waiver to operate the Soli sensors at a higher power levels than currently allowed.
Oh, so our fillings will feel it.
Probably.
Yeah, boy.
The FCC said the sensors can also be operated on board aircraft. The FCC said the Soli sensor captures motion in a three-dimensional space using a radar beam to enable touchless control of functions or features that can benefit users with mobility or speech impairments. Google says the sensor can allow users to press an invisible button between the thumb and index fingers, or a virtual dial that turns by rubbing the thumb against the index finger.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I can see where that can help a whole lot of folks with various disabilities that maybe allow them to then use products that we use and take for granted. Eventually, I mean, they're going to incorporate those kinds of things. That's pretty neat.
You know, and, you know, we give these tech giants a lot of flack for you know, the way they make their money.
And they deserve it often.
Right. But then you have companies like Google. They do spend a lot of money on their research arm, where they try to develop products like this for people with mobility problems.
That's awesome. And yes, we do give them credit for that as well. But then we also smack them around when necessary.
Exactly.
Because it's often necessary. RBC Capital Markets calculates that 41% of U.S. consumers now own a smart speaker. Especially after this holiday season, with penetration for Amazon Alexa-enabled devices reaching 31% last year. Yes, I said penetration on the radio. I saw you start giggling. Apple's HomePod saw minimal growth and controls only about 5% of the market. Sorry, you Apple fanboys and girls. Google and others are selling more of their smart speakers as well and have sold a whole lot more than, of course, Apple's HomePod. They ought to just drop that one. It's got such little amount of the market that just give it up and give it to Google and Amazon.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was shopping on Amazon because I was trying to decide if I wanted to get it because I haven't had a surround sound system for my TV for years. So I was trying to decide if I wanted to buy one. I was surprised at how many surround systems I've seen that have one of those smart speakers built into them.
Oh, yeah. Now it's becoming the thing to do, which makes perfect sense, especially if they're not really adding to their price. And then you can have built-in Alexa or Google Home or what have you. And you can get some pretty decent prices. What were you seeing price-wise on average?
For good ones, I was seeing about $600, which is why I didn't get one.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get a no-name brand that I'd never heard of and couldn't really speak to the quality, I could spend like $120.
Well, and then you can report on it.
Yeah.
Tell us whether you blew $120 or was it money well spent?
Well, I'm not a gambling man.
Well, we're going to Vegas next week.
Yeah, and you won't
still
see the
not
tables. Yeah.
That's true. Well, we learned, this is our 24th year broadcasting from this show, and we learned probably by the time our second year was there to warn staff that goes with us and everything, don't bother. I mean, if you've never been and you got to play the one-armed bandit or, you know, you got to do a little roulette or something because you can, get it out of your system, but spend $10 or $20 and then that's it, or you're going to be in serious trouble because the house will win.
Yeah, I have only ever played the slots in Vegas, and I stopped even playing those when they stopped taking coins because I used to like the sound of the coins falling. I think, but none of them take coins anymore. Now they spit out tickets, and you have to, even the dollar slot or the penny slots, you have to play a dollar at a time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a ticket, and that's how the house makes their money because you get people like me that I had a ticket once for like 22 cents, and I said, yeah, I'm not going to bother turning this in.
No, of course not. Even people with a few bucks, they're looking at the long line at the cashier's little window. And you're thinking that's part of the game, too. Nobody wants to wait in a long line to get $3 back or something for an hour. It's like, no. So they just count on that. And then they just, you know, they toss them unless an employee finds it and cashes it in. That happens, too, a lot. Citi Research expects Apple's iPhone production to hit 45 million devices in the first quarter of this new year of 2019, down from an earlier projection of 50 million. As demand shows signs of slowing. But 2019 could hold lots in store for Apple fans otherwise, including the potential release of the iPad Mini 5, the AirPower wireless charging mat, and an updated 12-inch MacBook. Stay tuned into tomorrow, and of course, we will keep you informed, not only of selling less iPhones, but of selling more of these other things, because more cool stuff is coming out from them.
Amazon is adding a bunch of new cargo jets to its fleet to help it deliver more of its own packages. It's another sign that Amazon is trying to reduce its dependence on other delivery companies. The company announced last week that it is leasing 10 additional Boeing 767 cargo jets. Amazon could lease an additional 17 jets by 2025. It currently leases 40 jets. I didn't even realize they had – I mean, I knew they had their own jets. I didn't realize they had a fleet of 40 jets already.
Yeah, me either. Wow. They're rivaling FedEx and UPS with their own jets.
Yeah. Well, the deal is another step in Amazon's plan to expand its ability to deliver packages itself rather than rely on delivery services such as FedEx, UPS, and the Postal Service. Amazon spent $18.6 billion on shipping costs in the first 9 months of 2018, which is up 30% from a year earlier. Now, a Morgan Stanley analyst estimated that both FedEx and UPS could lose 10% of their revenue to Amazon Air by 2025.
Wow. Yeah, they're not thrilled. I mean, they're having to play the game now and deliver everything they can and offer them more and more discounts and so forth. But eventually, they're not going to be delivering any Amazon stuff or very little because Amazon's going to be doing it, including those buffoons that just toss it at the door. They take a picture of it because there it is at your door. They didn't take a picture of it in midair, though.
And they didn't take a picture of them scratching their rear end.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen that on my Facebook, be sure to come and friend me at Dave Graveline on Facebook. I've got a video of the girl throwing the package at my door and then scratching her butt. It's all on video. And then you see her take the picture and walk away. It's like, oh, good job. And I should have found out if that was the package that had a lot of glass in it, and it all broke. But I think it was a pair of jeans or something. I don't know. Yeah, darn.
Microsoft finished 2018 as the world's most valuable company, but it also passed an important milestone for Windows. The latest Windows 10 operating system is now the most popular desktop OS in the world, finally beating out Windows 7's market share.
And, of course, way beating out Mac OS. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, Windows by far is out there much more than anything else. Linux, you name it, Windows takes it by far.
Now, Windows 10 owned 39.2% of the desktop OS market share in December, compared to 36.9% for Windows 7. It's a statistic that demonstrates just how popular Windows 7 has been since its release nearly 10 years ago.
Wow.
Microsoft said it had been planning to get Windows 10 running on a billion devices within 3 years of its release, but the company soon extended that timeline after it was clear that Windows Phone would not help it achieve that aim.
Yeah. Of course, we've slammed Windows Phone before it came out, and rightly so. It just never amounted to anything.
Yeah, Windows 10 is now running on more than 700 million devices, including PCs, tablets, phones, and even Xbox One consoles.
Wow. Soon to be a billion.
Yeah.
So
they hope.
They hope. They're finally going to get to that goal after another couple extensions, most likely.
Yeah. But
the popularity, as you said, of Windows 7, how many Windows 7 licenses did you say?
But the Windows 7 still has 36.9% of the market share.
Wow. So that's a big chunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and Microsoft, again, was able to finish the year out, you know, being the most valuable company because they've been leapfrogging with Apple for the last few weeks.
Sure. And they finished the year as being the most valuable company. And you don't generally tend to think that of Microsoft. Apple, absolutely, because they've got all these products and they're selling like crazy. But Microsoft, maybe not so much, but sure.
Well, they've had a big push with their Xbox consoles lately, too. So
yes.
I'm sure that helped push them over the edge.
Absolutely. During the holiday season, that was definitely it. Speaking of revenue, Facebook's year-over-year revenue growth from national advertisers was 35% in the first quarter of 2018 and fell to 30% in quarter two, with a further drop to 16% in the third quarter. That, according to Standard Media Index, Facebook's growth from national marketers has been slowing, indicating that major brands are concerned with recent events there and are focusing on brand-safe environments. You don't tend to think about Facebook as being brand-safe, and that's got a lot of people concerned, that according to the Standard Media Index CEO. So you think Facebook is going, oh boy. You know, and you look at that, there's far fewer national advertisers, still some, of course, but far fewer. You're seeing more individual products or things or companies you never heard of, and they're just taking their money and running because Facebook is dropping ad revenue like crazy. Companies are saying, no, you've been screwing too many people. You've been giving out people's private information. You're letting companies read their private messages, basically. No, we're not going to advertise with you anymore.
Right. Well, that's also why Facebook has been pushing more for people, for companies to boost their posts. I mean, I get that since I'm an admin for the Into Tomorrow page. Anytime I'm on Facebook, I always see, a copy of a post that we recently did saying, reach more people with this post. Boost it now for $30. I'm thinking, really?
Yeah. we can reach 10,000 people within 5 miles of your business. Well, great. We're an international broadcast. That's going to help.
Yeah. And of course, being that it's them trying to make money, they don't give you an option to opt out of those.
I know. Because we're admins, we have to put up with them. So if you're not an admin for a company page, be happy.
Yeah.
And just live your life on your Facebook page and enjoy it. Because that's what you got to deal with.
A missing Australian's body could have been found 18 months earlier if searchers had not relied on incorrect Google Maps data, according to the coroner.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. 46-year-old Daryl Simon was last seen in November of 2014. Search crews scoured Mr. Simon's rural property at the time, but his remains were not found there until May of 2016, when his death was then ruled a suicide. A printed map used by police showed incorrect boundaries on the property. Now, that meant that search volunteers covered only about half the man's property, which, of course, begs the question, why are police anywhere relying on Google Maps for this sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I get it if they're trying to maybe plot some areas that were already searched and, okay, we didn't find him there, keep looking. But that they're just saying only his property, which turned out not to be accurate.
Right, because Google Maps showed his property as being half the size. I mean, wouldn't you use, county? I mean, this is Australia. I know they don't have really counties like we do. But, here we go to the county and get county records for the property. Mm-hmm.
Well, to be fair, not that I'm defending Google, because, generally they suck and they don't need any defense. Well, they do need a lot, but not for me. The point being is that maybe it was local government issues, too, that were feeding that information to Google, and that's how it was inaccurate. You never know. But that's a long time to not be able to find your body.
Yeah, well, apparently the man's body was found by the people who bought his property after his death. And they were, because there was a period of drought, so they were clearing out brush, and that's when they found his body.
Oh, well, very nice. Yeah. Nice of them to clean out their property finally.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, boy. Let's go to Jude in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, who listens on AM 800 CKLW. Jude, welcome into Tomorrow.
I find it necessary to put up security cameras on my properties. While researching security cameras, I'm inundated with wireless versus hardwired, copious amounts of different brand names. So I'm lost as to what would be best. And the reasons that I might prefer Wi-Fi versus hardwire. I would love some input from you.
Well, Jude, it would be our pleasure to provide said input from us. What's best depends on your needs, obviously, but the main difference between wired and wireless is the ease of installation. Wireless cameras need power, but you probably have other devices that need power, too, near where you want the cameras. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, in fact, I recently put in a Ring wireless camera at my house, mm-hmm. And power was an issue, which is why I went with the wireless solution. But the battery kept dying, so they had a solar panel available.
Now, isn't this where you read to me in the Ring manual that the battery should last 6 to 8 months? It was lasting, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. Mainly because, you know, I mean, I live in a townhouse, and there's always people walking by and driving by, and couldn't set the area, so it was constantly getting motion set.
And you had even turned the lights off so they don't come on automatically and stuff to try to save battery. But if Ring is telling you from 6 to 8 months it should last, well, that's far from accurate. Because 2 to 3 weeks was more realistic.
Right. And, you know, and where I have the camera placed, I've got an American flag right in front of it. So every time the wind blows, it picks that motion up. And so it's, you know, yeah, I expect the battery to run down. But I ended up getting a solar panel for it, and that helped a lot. Now it's keeping the battery charged, so I don't have to keep going up and charging the battery.
And, of course, you were trying to paint the screen as much as it would allow you, but it's really, really very limited, isn't it? I mean, you can either do a little bit or a little bit more or a lot, but you can't really say, all right, here's where the flag is. Don't pick up the flag motion or don't pick up the sidewalk, but let me see everything else if somebody opens my gate or something. Right.
Right. So I just, you know, I figure I'd rather have it capture everything than nothing.
Yeah, true.
So now, Jude, when it comes to wired cameras, you have to run data cables of some sort. Sometimes they're Ethernet, sometimes they're old coax, but whatever they are, they have to cover the distance between the camera and the recorder or monitor. Now, you may need an additional drop for power, too, or you may be able to draw power from the same cable. But even if it's all on one cable, it will be one to each camera that you want to install. That means you'll end up with a virtual spiderweb of cables all around your house.
Yeah, it's referred to as home runs. Think about it that way. If you want to put up six cameras, you got six cable runs at least, assuming it's all power over Ethernet, for example.
Now, you know, on the pro side of the list, wired cameras are very unlikely to suffer from any meaningful interference unless your drops are very, very long. So they are reliable.
Yeah, much more reliable than a wireless camera, to keep that in mind. Now, wireless is probably more than enough for most people these days. Our Wi-Fi networks are solid, and we use them for everything. And having the cameras on that network makes it easy if you want to be able to reach your cameras, especially when you're not home. With some wired camera systems, reaching your router may be yet another drop to think about. So I hope we've given you some stuff to chew on there.
It also depends on your house setup. I mean, you live in a house that, you know, with a, you know, big single-family home with an attic space. So it's easier for you to run cables here. I mean, most of your security cameras are wired because you can run it through the attic. Mm-hmm. I live in a townhouse. It's a lot harder for me to run cables through an attic. So wireless was really best for me.
Sure. And it works out that way. So you can understand, Jude, I hope, how we said it really depends on your needs in the long run. Be sure to let us know, won't you, what you end up with, because it'll help other listeners make similar decisions. IntoTomorrow.com, and you've got a question, a tech concern, a digital dilemma, call this number anytime.
800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO.
In today's connected world, high-speed internet is a necessity. Luckily, where you live no longer means missing out on a fast connection. Do what we did and get HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet Gen 5 delivers the speed you need where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you, too. Text RADIO to 35,000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35,000. HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live and work.
Welcome back into Tomorrow, where we launch our 24th year from CES starting next week.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
It's a new year, and you should think about keeping your data safe with a plan for 2019. Here's Ken Higgins with OWC Digital.
Thanks, Dave. Even today, with modern reliance on digital media, millions of people simply don't back up their data. But this is a new year, so a perfect time to put a plan in place. A proper backup plan ensures triple redundancy for your data, so if one fails, you still have two copies. Following the expert recommended 3-2-1 rule gives you a primary copy of your data on a local backup drive connected with software such as Apple's Time Machine, a second copy on a separate external hard drive, and a third copy that's either physically offsite or in the cloud. This simple 3-2-1 formula will keep your crucial data safe in the event of a disaster. And now, back to you, Dave.
Thanks, Ken. Visit owcdigital.com/into for more.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113.
Letting you know what else you just can't live without, you're tuned into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. For 23 years now, we've been covering the latest in consumer electronics and technology, products and services, all sorts of gadgets and gizmos, whatever the case, available today and into tomorrow. Our next guest comes to us from a source for practical advice, new products, and leading-edge technology dedicated to enhancing the Wi-Fi experience. That caught our attention because we all have Wi-Fi concerns. He's known as the Wi-Fi guru. He's the CEO of Milo Wi-Fi, Jeff Parker. Jeff, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dave.
It's a pleasure to have you. First of all, tell me a little bit about Milo Wi-Fi, and then let's get into some of the causes for Wi-Fi dead zones and things that I'm sure we've all experienced.
Well, thanks. Milo Wi-Fi was developed to help mostly homeowners, although some people use it in small businesses also, mm-hmm. who have a Wi-Fi router in their house, and it just doesn't cover everywhere that they'd like to use Wi-Fi. You know, with Wi-Fi being used by so many different devices today, whether it's the doorbell in your home where you get to see who's coming up your doorstep, or it's a smart TV, or maybe you went out and bought one of those smart plugs that you can control lamps and other items from, people want Wi-Fi to work everywhere, and sometimes not even just inside their house. They want to control pool pumps or listen to music by their pool or their deck. So what Milo Wi-Fi is intended to do is to help consumers take the Wi-Fi and move it without degrading the speed that they get, without degrading the signal, and do it any place you want to use Wi-Fi. That's the purpose.
And I think, Jeff, you bring up a good point that a lot of folks don't stop to think that we're really, in many ways, I guess, taxing our Wi-Fi router because we are adding so many other devices. And whether it's something that we're doing with the TV, whether it's a smart TV or we're adding, you know, various additional items for over-the-top connections and streaming and whatnot, and even video doorbells and cameras and whatnot, if these are all on our Wi-Fi, Of course, it's probably slowing it down. We hear from a lot of listeners that say they're regularly having to just reboot their Wi-Fi router, and that seems to help. But if you have to do that often, that's obviously not the cure.
No, that's exactly right. So you have to, you know, what do they say? Many hands make for light lifting. So think of it as you've got multiple Wi-Fi devices that are cooperating with each other. You install these in key locations in your home. They're all wireless, so you don't have to run wires or cables. You just plug them into a wall outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And they coordinate to give you the kind of Wi-Fi experience as if you're right next to your router, even though you may be way on the other side of your house or in your basement or your backyard.
I'm noticing on your site at milowifi.com, you've got various devices, some for up to 1,250 feet, then up to 2,500, then even up to 3,750 feet. So if you've got a big house, good for you, but you probably need the ability to repeat with good quality, it seems, obviously, your Wi-Fi signal and get it out there. It's more than just throw up another router and hope for the best.
No, that's exactly right. You know, maybe the simplest way to think about it, you know, there's millions of these boosters and repeaters that have been sold over the years. We've probably all seen them. They plug into a wall outlet. They've got two little antennas. Many of them aren't the most attractive looking thing, but they've been out for a while. And the challenge with those is, you know, Albert Einstein had a great saying, everything should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler.
Yeah,
and
true.
I think that's an oversimplification, and so lots of people who've tried those have said, you know, I spent not a lot of money, $29, $39, $49, and I put this thing in, and it kind of works, but it usually doesn't, and it really didn't achieve what I wanted. This Milo is designed to be that, but elegant and working and not unreliable. So it's the bridge between having nothing and having something that really works.
And, of course, you know, we've talked for many, many years on the air about how your Wi-Fi router has to get through walls. It's got to penetrate various parts of your house. And it's not unusual that, for example, maybe you have a two-story house and you have great signal on the floor that the router's at, but then that's it. Then it's dead zone anywhere else in the house. And those are the kinds of things that I guess people are struggling with on a regular basis.
Exactly. You know, the challenge with Wi-Fi for most people is the location that the Wi-Fi typically starts is next to the internet service provider's modem where they brought the internet into your house. And that's usually going to be on one side of the house. So that's fine where that's located. But then what do you do 50 feet and three walls away?
Yeah.
And that's the challenge people have.
Now, I'm also, every time I do an interview, I listen to my listeners in my head, which probably is spooky, but I'm hearing people thinking about, well, Dave, what about you always recommend switching frequencies? You know, maybe our neighbors are all on the same frequency, so it's not that difficult to just switch frequencies. Do you find, Jeff, that can help in some cases, but again, still limited in getting your signal around the house?
You know, it can help. It definitely is a partial solution, but think of it this way. If your home has Wi-Fi, let's say, coming in on the east side of the home, and you're trying to get a good Wi-Fi connection on the west side of the home, and again, maybe that's that 40 or 50 feet away and three or four walls, the signal from your neighbor next door is likely stronger from their Wi-Fi router than the one you're trying to listen to on your Wi-Fi router on the other side of the house. That's what generates the problem.
Very true.
So that's why when you distribute the Wi-Fi system like we described, you're no longer having a competition with a stronger signal. Your own Wi-Fi is the strongest signal, and that's ultimately what you really want to achieve.
Yeah, because you can't take slow for an answer. I like that.
Well, thank you.
So is the Milo system then basically considered a distributed Wi-Fi system? We hear that kind of bantered about every so often. And if so, it does provide these benefits that you've been talking about.
It is. It's a distributed Wi-Fi system. And if you think about it, that type of solution has been used now for years very successfully in commercial buildings. If you go to a commercial office or a hospital or some large building, they'll distribute these Wi-Fi nodes up in the ceiling usually, mm-hmm. but the thing there is they're wired from Wi-Fi box to Wi-Fi box. And, you know, it's easy to do that in these dropped commercial ceilings. But you can walk around those buildings, never drop the Wi-Fi signal. It always works just the way it's supposed to. So think of that solution for your home, but you don't have to run the cables between the units. It's all wireless.
And that's good. And, of course, if you've got the luxury of building a new home and you can pre-wire for stuff, hey, go for it, by all means. Run the heck out of LAN cables that will always come in handy at some point. But most of us don't have that ability.
Precisely. That's exactly right.
So,
listen, most of our homes were built long before anybody thought about Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Give us an idea, Jeff, as to costs for the Milo units. Because you mentioned, as did I, that you've got several different kinds to cover larger homes or areas that are having more difficulty. How do we price that?
So it's a fully scalable system, meaning if you wanted to just try one unit and say, I'm going to wirelessly connect this one Milo unit to my existing Wi-Fi, maybe you put it in the middle of your home where the Wi-Fi is still reasonable and it covers the rest of the home on the other half that's not getting covered, a Milo unit can be as little as $59.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And it's a one-time purchase. It's not a subscription or anything like that. You don't pay monthly.
No.
You buy the device.
Correct.
How difficult is it to connect it to my existing Wi-Fi if we have a Milo unit?
There's an app that we have with the product that you can use on any smartphone, whether it's an Apple or an Android-based phone. And I would say to set that up would take you a single unit less than 5 minutes, probably 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay, and this is with the app, I'm assuming, so that you're just simply
correct.
Telling it, here's my existing Wi-Fi, connect, talk to it, play nice together, and you're living hopefully happily ever after.
Exactly. It gives you a few tips, by the way. Where's the best location to put it? How can you determine that you're getting the maximum data speed? It has some pretty cool features to give you the visibility to know that you're getting the most out of the system you can get.
Ah, very good.
And then if you say, okay, I've got my one unit, and maybe 2 months later you say, gee, now I'd like to extend it out to my pool. I wonder if I could connect the second unit up and go even further. It's fully scalable. So you can have up to 10 Milo units, and you can just string these things together wirelessly. It'll figure out the best route to take and the best frequencies to use. And it's also a cloud-based product, meaning that there's a connection up to the internet through the cloud where it automatically downloads updates, so we keep you up to date with the best possible software and firmware.
Great. And then what about security? Can folks, is it easier or more difficult at that point for neighbors to try to get into my Wi-Fi?
It uses the same security as the standard Wi-Fi standard uses, which is very good encryption. I wouldn't say it's any more secure or any less secure. I'd say it's about as secure as any good Wi-Fi router that you buy today.
Good. And that's a perfectly good idea. We have listeners occasionally that say, well, you know, I've increased the speed from my internet provider, or I finally got fiber, and yet I still don't have the coverage around the house. Well, of course, speed isn't going to have anything to do with your coverage, but these units can handle, you said, any speeds that your existing Wi-Fi is dealing with, right?
That's true, yes. So if you think about wireless and you think about speed, unfortunately, even in the best, most expensive Wi-Fi devices today, over distance, the speed will decrease. So as an example, if I started out with 100 megabits per second at my internet connection, and I now am on the other end of my house, you know, maybe I'm down to 10 or 20 megabits. The signal degrades, and that degrade in signal will unfortunately decrease your speed.
Sure.
With a system like this, actually, we will pick the speed back up. We won't be able to keep it up at 100, but I've seen plenty of our systems out there where if you had 100 megabits coming in, you could get to the other end of your home and still have 50 or 60 megabits, which is a gracious plenty to do. I mean, 4K video streaming is only 15 megabits.
MiloWiFi.com, MiloWiFi.com. We'll get you there, of course, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Jeff Parker, the CEO, also known as, and I know why now, the Wi-Fi guru from Milo Wi-Fi. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We'll get you back on again soon, and maybe we'll even snag one from you to test for a while and talk more about it on the air.
Dave, we would love to do that. Thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure. MiloWiFi.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We'll continue bringing you further into tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. Call right now. 888-912-1332.
You know, sometime into tomorrow, the auto will automatically pick you up and take you where you want to go. But there will probably be a lot more fender benders until it does the job as promised. You have any questions about things like autonomous vehicles? Just one of thousands of things we can hopefully help you with when you call us anytime, day or night, at 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686. Erasmo's in the control room. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by Leviton Decora Smart. Control your lighting with an app, your voice, and schedules. More info at leviton.com.
Chris in Jackson, Mississippi, listens on Supertalk 97.3 FM. Hello, Chris.
I am literally on my way to the store to get a HDMI cable so that I can connect my computer to my TV so that I won't have to look at the ads in the YouTube app. It's ridiculous how many ads there are on both YouTube and the internet in general. And I'm tired of seeing so many ads. I mean, I am willing to pay an additional amount of money for a ad-free internet just in general. I don't want to get YouTube Red and then sign up for a ad-free version of every other app that I use. No, I would very much like if there were just an ad-free option in general.
Well, Chris, I have some bad news for you. You probably won't ever be able to get that. The internet is much larger than something like cable TV, and getting everyone worldwide to negotiate how much money they want and collect it through your internet service provider is just not realistic, I'm sorry to say. Keep in mind that the traffic websites get is not comparable. And some have huge hosting costs, and huge ad revenue is needed to cover that.
Yeah, and you can also expect opposition to an idea like that from Google, Facebook, and all the other tech giants that are really glorified ad agencies.
That's a good point. That's how we should think of them.
Yeah. You know, and if you want to pay for ad-free, you probably won't have a better option that for the foreseeable future than to just pay for the services you want one at a time.
It's unfortunate, but it's not a panacea that we're going to be able to achieve, I don't think.
And I've noticed that even on news sites. You know, I've gone to like Fox News' website and CBS, NBC. You know, they'll have, you know, a story that I want to see. So I'll go to click on the story, but before I go to the story, this full-page ad pops up. Fox News is famous for that on their website.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's annoying.
But at least on a full-page ad, you can quickly go up and hit X, usually, and get rid of it. But you're still going to see it. You're still going to put up with it. So I prefer that to having these one-minute video ads that pre-roll before a little one-minute piece of video that I want to see.
I would prefer it if it would pop up as soon as I get to the page. Instead, it waits till I've read halfway through the first sentence of a story, and then it pops up. Like, yeah. Now you're interrupting me.
How dare they?
I know.
But guess what? That's how you're getting it for free.
Yeah.
Just like radio. You know, you tolerate our commercials because you get the show for free. Just like this radio station that is no doubt your favorite that you're listening to us on, or podcast, or stream, or otherwise source. But mostly radio stations. And you deal with the commercials because that's what pays the bills.
And at least some ad agencies get that, and they've been working on making some ads a little more entertaining. I won't sit there and watch, you know, these cable TV ads. They're the worst. Oh. And I say that, you know, being a former cable TV commercial producer.
Yep. You know, your fault.
Yeah. Well, it's not my fault.
Well, you did a lot of them. Yeah.
You know, and there's other ways that these companies are trying to make more advertising revenue. We talked a few weeks back about Hulu even, considering putting ads up when you pause a show. That's a terrible idea.
I know.
But.
However, if you're pausing a show because you're going to answer the door, or going to get a snack or something like that, then maybe fine. Let them put an ad up. You're not even there to watch it. As long as when you get back, you can unpause and get back to your show.
Oh, but sometimes I pause a show because my phone rings. And if I'm going to answer my phone, I don't want an ad playing in the background. That's why I pause the show.
You know? You can't pause the ad?
Probably not. I don't know.
You haven't tried? I am fortunate that I've not encountered that yet.
Well, they haven't put it on my Hulu yet, but they said they're considering it, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I hope they don't, for your sake and ours. Chris, sorry about that. Wish we had better news for you. IntoTomorrow.com, though, is where we hope to see you soon.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Into Tomorrow continues, where we launch our 24th year from Las Vegas next week. Be sure to stay tuned. Movies were going to kill TV, plays, TV's going to kill movies, streaming going to kill, you get the idea. All these new technologies, we're going to kill all the other technologies. Well, guess what? We're still around, especially radio. And thank you for tuning Into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. Don't forget that you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our website at intotomorrow.com. That stream is provided by streamguys.com.
When you call in and participate on the program, and you can do it any time, by the way, 24 hours a day. Maybe think of something later tonight, tomorrow morning, whatever. We're going to give you the phone number to call. I trust that you'll make a note. Here, I've got a pen. Jot it down. Store it in your phone. It would be awesome. We don't have to be in your top 2 or 3, but maybe in your top 10, right? And call us anytime you've got a tech question. And no promises, no guarantees, but tell us about any of the things you're about to hear. If you prefer one of these items, we'll do our best to get it to you.
From Razer, we've got a Kraken Tournament Edition wired gaming headset.
Oh, my gosh. That's worth a lot of money, too. From OVLED, some LED broadbeam headlamps that are very bright.
From SolPro, Helios Smart Battery Pack and solar-powered travel charger. Charges most phones 3 times on a single charge.
I'm using one and will be carrying it with me all through Vegas next week, and I certainly think it's a great product. From 97, their Dox portable battery base for an Amazon Echo Dot. If you've got one of those, you might as well have a battery base for it.
From Action Tech, Screen Beam Mini 2 wirelessly mirror any content from your mobile device to an HD display.
There you go. And from Quilt, the Quilt 2. You can attach any USB storage device and access your files from darn near anywhere. Those are the things that you can win. Mention one or more, and we'll do our best when you call
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.